It's now time for Law Talk with Brad on Talk Radio 1370 AM. He's here to take your questions regarding law and estate planning at 390-1370. And now, here's attorney Brad Wewell.
Good morning, everybody. This is Brad Wewell. This is Law Talk with Brad. We are here on a beautiful Saturday morning, and we got graduations going on around the city. We've got we had one last night with my youngest son, Zach, and one this afternoon with my oldest son, Sam. So we are on the graduation tour here, and we are here today talking with you about what you want to talk about regarding estate planning. So this is a show, as you probably know, but if you're new, you may not know. This is a show where we talk about wills, trusts, probate, asset protection. We talk about Medicaid planning. We can talk about living wills and pulling the plug. We can talk about, just anything to do with death, dying, dismemberment, disability, taxes. We can talk about taxes. We talk about estate taxes here fairly often. We don't have a lot of news on that yet, but we anticipate that we will in the next several weeks or so. But we can talk about that. We can talk about gift taxes. We can talk about pets. We got pet law we can talk about. In fact, I just got lined up. Velocity Credit Union in July is going to do a seminar on pet planning. Planning for folks' pets. And I'm going to be the speaker. And if you want information on that, you can call our office. We have a law firm at 480-8828, and we'll give you some information on that. Or you can call Velocity Credit Union. But we can talk about pets today, too. If you've got Fido, Fluffy, Polly, the parrot, I guess. Watch out for those parrots, by the way. Parrots apparently live a long time. Parrots live like 80 years. 80 years. I'm not kidding you. And you buy a parrot today, your parrot will probably outlive you, and you need a will or a pet trust or something to take care of your Polly. So anyway, we can talk about pet planning today. We can talk about anything that you want to related to estate planning, and we are happy to take your calls this morning. So this is a call-in show, and our call-in number is 390-1370, 390-1370. We have the lovely, and she is very lovely, Cindy Wewell, outside on the phones, taking your call, screening your call, getting you to me, and I'll answer your question today at 390-1370, 390-1370. And you can email us, and our email address is askbrad@wewell.us. So that's askbrad@wiewel.us. So you can do that if you want to. One last thing, and then we'll get to kind of some more meatier topics here. If you want to, you can listen online. And you can go to talk1370.com, and you can listen online, or you can go to texastrustlaw.com, texastrustlaw.com, which is our own website at the Wewell Law Firm, and you can click on radio show, and you can click on listen live online and listen to it online. So anyway, you can do a lot of things. We'd be happy to take your calls this morning, be happy to answer questions. This is tough, interesting, complex, dangerous stuff, ladies and gentlemen. We saw some stuff in our office at the Wewell Law Firm this week that is concerning. And so if you've got a concern about anything to do with estate planning, give us a call this morning, and I'll be happy to unwind your concern, answer your concern, give you some direction in your life, and hopefully make you a little bit more peaceful. And if I can't make you more peaceful, at least I'll make you more knowledgeable. How about that? And Snoop gave me this today. So for the first caller today, if you want it, and if you first caller doesn't want it, I'll give you the second caller. It's a four-pack of one-day passes to the Triton Financial Classic Golf Tournament at the Hills Country Club. That's next weekend, June 5th through the 7th. This is a value of $40, and we would be happy to give it to our first caller. But you got to call them with a question that we get to talk about on the air. And if you're a caller and you don't want it, we'll give it to the second caller. But it's a four-pack of one-day passes to the Triton Financial Classic Golf Tournament at the Hills Country Club, which is out in Lakeway, next weekend. So that would be fun. And feel free to give us a call, 390-1370, 390-1370, and I'll answer your question. And if you want the tickets, first come, first serve. All right. What are those Aggies up to, Snoop? Those Aggies, this is the Aggie station, Snoop said, baseball. Well, that's kind of what a lot of people are focused on, but that's not what I'm focused on. This is not a sports show. This is a estate planning show. So you might have read it a couple weeks ago. We're just getting around to talking about it. The Aggie Cemetery. Come on, Snoop. Aggie Cemetery. Those Aggies, I'll tell you, Cindy's an Aggie out there, and I love my Aggie wife, Cindy. And she has got the whole household as Aggie fans now. And they've got a cemetery going now in College Station. Actually, the city of College Station has a cemetery going. And there are 2,900 cemetery plots ready for folks who want to die and have a view of Kyle Field in the hereafter. It's a little bit pricey. I got to say that if you're a normal person who just wants to be buried in Memorial Cemetery in College Station, you're going to pay about $600. But if you want in the Aggie area, you are going to pay about $2,000. So there you go. Let's gouge the Aggies while we can, I guess. They're going to have a nice little, granite, kind of maroon. Granite better be maroon. Sure as heck better not be burnt orange, I don't think, over there. Maroon columns and a nice little spirit gate. They're calling it spirit gate. I guess it's a little play on words there. And with the ATM logo right there. So, Cindy, we may be heading to College Station. I know that a lot of folks will be. But anyway, this is going on, 2,900 spaces. They will probably be snapped up pretty quickly. In this article from the Houston Chronicle, an Aggie is quoted, an Aggie supporter is saying, it was a no-brainer for me. So it may be a no-brainer for you. So if you want to be buried with a view of Kyle Field, I know for some of our listeners that is probably a repugnant thought. But for many of our listeners, the Aggie listeners, and this is the Aggie station, we do baseball here, Snoop. We do baseball, basketball, football, all Aggie, all the time. Go to College Station, get your forever plot with the view of Kyle Field, and rest a little bit quieter, with a little smile on your face over in College Station. All right. We've got more to talk about, but we'll talk about that in a few minutes. We've got a caller, and by the way, callers, our call-in number is 390-1370, 390-1370, and we've got the four-pack of golf tournament tickets. So we're going to take Patrick, and Patrick, Brad Wewell, good morning. Thanks for calling. What can I help you with?
Hey, Brad. First, let you know I love your show. Well, I listen every Saturday.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate that,
Patrick. I had a question. I'm going to be the executor for my parents, and they do have a small house. And I know there's like 4 or 5 kids in the family, so we're going to be more interested, I think, in selling the home.
Sure.
How does that work, or does – I'm just curious, do you have to sell the house within a certain period of time?
You don't. Now, the question is, do your mom and dad have a will?
Yes.
Okay, great. Yeah. And you probably have to look through the will to make sure it's not too simple of a will.
Okay.
Some wills are just really simple. We'll see them on one page or a page and a half, whatever. And they don't have all that you would need necessarily to sell real estate.
Okay.
You can't sell real estate without the magic words. The magic words are going to be, I give you the power to sell assets and distribute assets. Or there may be a reference to you would have all the powers of a trustee under the Texas Trust Code or something like that.
Okay.
If you got that, you're good to go. If you don't have that, then if everybody agrees, then you can ask the judge to allow you to do it, and there wouldn't be a problem, I can't imagine.
Okay.
But there's no timeline, except that after 15 months, the beneficiaries can ask for a distribution. You don't have to make one. The court can say, no, we've got other things going on. So, 15 months, unless it's a really bad market, I would think you're probably going to have it wrapped up by then and all that stuff.
And then do you just you get a realtor? Is there any special realtors or just get a realtor?
No, there's no special realtors. And
okay.
And find one. Again, typically we'd recommend somebody who works in that area of town because they tend to specialize in their own little areas. And no, and then once you get, you really can't list it until you've gone to court and you've been appointed as the official executor.
Okay.
Just because you're named in the will doesn't make you the executor until the judge puts his stamp of approval on you.
Okay.
But once you have that, you can list it that day. You can sell it the next day, for that matter. You end up with things that are called letters testamentary, Patrick.
Okay.
And a letter testamentary is an official permission slip from the court saying, Patrick, you are the person that everybody can deal with regarding your mom and dad's estate, and you now have power to,
okay,
again, sell a house and then just pay the bills and distribute it to your,
okay,
siblings. Okay.
Great. Thank you so much.
Hey, man. My pleasure. Thanks again for your call. Appreciate
it.
Have a great Saturday.
Okay.
All right. Great. All right. Good call. Yeah. Houses are interesting. And most of the time, unless it's a heritage property, and we have some folks with heritage property would be the family ranch, the family lake house, the family home place that's been there forever, and the family really wants to keep it in the family. We have one rather large family that has multiple pieces of property, and they want to keep them all in the family because they want to keep the cash flow coming out to the family members. So that's, you know, one way to do it. But most of the time, the kids, it's not heritage property. Mom and dad are gone. We want to sell it, and we want to distribute the money. One thing I didn't mention to Patrick, and this is a really important point, ladies and gentlemen, is that Patrick's parents, if they're getting older and they end up on Medicaid, the sale of the house could be complicated, not so much the sale, but where the proceeds go, because if they end up on Medicaid, then the state may be able to obtain not a lien necessarily, but the executor would be obligated to repay the state for the money the state had laid out on the Medicaid thing. So Patrick and anybody else out there listening, there is a way around that. If you do it right, then the state doesn't get the house or a reimbursement from the house sale after death if somebody was on Medicaid, but you have to take action on that, and you have to make sure you get that done. All right, and let's go to Joe. Joe, Brad Wewell, thanks for calling. What can help you with?
Hi, this is Joe from Austin. Can
yes,
you
sir.
Hear me?
I can hear you just fine, Joe. You're a little cracky, but come on down.
Let me stand outside my car. Hold on.
That'd be great.
If there is a trust written by a person and she leaves the trust to the two children and to the grandchildren, what if one of the children does not have children and will never have children?
Well, you got to read it very carefully, Joe. It depends on what it says, of course, and a lot of times, typically the way we would write it anyway, it would say to my children or to my descendants per stirpes or per capita at each generation. Really what it means is that it goes to the children first, and then typically when the children die, it's been locked in to go to the grandchildren, as opposed to... It's pretty unusual, but not unheard of, to see a trust or a will that says, I want to give it in kind of equal shares to my children and my grandchildren. Is that kind of your concern? He's gone. All right. Joe, sounds like I missed you. If you want to give us a call back, I'll try to focus on that. But it is unusual for folks to leave money in equal shares to their children and their grandchildren, but again, not unheard of. You have to do it carefully if you're going to leave money to grandchildren for a couple of reasons. First of all, how old are they? And if you got minor grandchildren can't own money. They can't control money, let's put it like that. They need a guardian. They need a custodian that needs to be in a trust for them. A well-written living trust, a well-written will say if any money goes to my minor or anybody, my minor grandchildren, my minor kids, my minor great-grandkids, or my minor nieces and nephews, or what have you, then there typically would be, and certainly should be, in the will of the living trust, a contingent trust. And the contingent trust is just kind of a standby trust. It's just kind of there. And what it says is if money goes to a person who's younger than, we would say, in fact, we say in our documents, typically 25, then the money doesn't go to the younger person directly. It's going to be managed by somebody else, somebody we trust, their uncle, aunt, parent, whatever. And they're going to be able to spend the money that's going to that grandchild or whomever for typically health, education, maintenance, which means braces or college or a car at 16. But the money will not be placed in the hot little hand of that young person too soon, because we all know about young people and money. And we've heard in our office lots and lots of stories about young people with money. And so if you've got a will, you probably ought to dig it out and look at it. And if you've got a living trust, you probably ought to dig it out and look at it and make sure that it has a contingent trust in there for minor beneficiaries. And you may say, well, I'm leaving it to my kids. I'm not leaving it to my grandkids. Well, if your kids predecease you or they're killed along with you, your child is killed with you, taking you to the doctor, then their share will go to their children. The other problem with kids, of course, is not just making sure it's an appropriate age, but making sure they get it correctly and safe from their friends, from predators, from Las Vegas, from the Chevrolet, or not Chevrolet, but the Corvette, the Porsche, the Ferrari dealer, whatever. So a lot of ways, a lot of smart ways, and a lot of incorrect and not so smart ways to leave money to kids. So, and grandkids, excuse me. So think about that. And again, we'll talk about that. We get a chance here maybe a little bit later this morning. We are going to take a break right now. Our call-in number is 390-1370, 390-1370. All our phone lines are open. We're happy to take your call. We've got these tickets, and I'm not sure we gave the tickets out to Patrick or Joe. Patrick, if you want them. Okay, they're gone. Tickets are gone. So anyway, call in with your questions, 390-1370. We will see you on the other side of the break. Thanks.
Law Talk with Brad will continue in a moment. Welcome back to Law Talk with Brad on Talk Radio 1370 AM.
All right. Welcome back. This is Brad Wewell. This is Law Talk with Brad. We are taking calls this morning on estate planning stuff. So we are taking your calls and happy to take your calls regarding anything to do with estate planning or probate or asset protection planning, which we do more and more of at the Wewell Law Firm. We are focusing a lot on making sure that if our clients get sued, that their assets aren't going to be taken from them. We're doing some work on business planning right now. We're working on a buy-sell for a client who he and his brother are partners, and their mom's in there too. Actually, it's a family business, and they want to make sure that if something happens to one of them, that the surviving members of this business, the surviving stockholders, don't end up having to be in business with the widow or the widower of the deceased. And if you have a buy-sell agreement with your partner and you've got typically some life insurance, what happens is that one partner dies. The agreement says, if I die, then you have to, surviving partner, buy my share of the business out and pay my family for my value of the business. And typically there's life insurance that the surviving partner has to give to the family of the deceased. And the family of the deceased ends up with cash. And the surviving owner ends up with the business. And you don't end up with business in business with people that really you don't want to end up in business with. We had a client in our office Wednesday, and he was going on about his family had a business with a silent partner, and his father who had run the business, and he came in to help his father and ended up owning most of it. Still, the silent partner was taking 30% of the profit every year and not doing a lick of work and didn't have to because legally he was entitled to it because he was a silent partner. And he said it made him, over the course of time, very embittered. Well, if there was a buy-sell agreement between his father and this silent partner and the father died and the son was going to take over, there could have been an agreement that the silent partner get bought out and that everybody, he's happy because he gets cash for his interest in the business. The son who's taken over gets all the business and doesn't have to ship profit every year over to somebody who's actually not working in the business. So buy-sell agreements are really important. There are a couple different ways to do them. We do them at the Wewell Law Firm often, but not as often as we'd like to, because frankly, business owners don't typically get it. They don't get the need for that. So if you're in business with anybody else, you need to have a buy-sell agreement so that, again, if you're the survivor, you're not in business with the kids of the deceased, with maybe the ex-spouse of the deceased, with a lot of people that, frankly, you would not want to be in business with. So buy-sell agreements are smart, and you need to have one. This is a call-in show, so let me give you a call-in number again. It's 390-1370, 390-1370. What else do we have here? Candace Bocock, who is the producer of the show, kind of dug out a few things on stimulus checks. So you got to be careful about a few things out there. You may get money from the government, and beware of money from the government, right? I mean, it's not like they either want your vote or something. So now they're sending out stimulus checks, and you may get a stimulus check. You may not, but if you do, be careful with that stimulus check. They're sending out apparently checks of about $250, not a lot of money, to a lot of people to kind of get them to spend the money and boost the economy. Well, a lot of the same people that are getting the $250 economic recovery checks, is what they're called, are also entitled to a tax credit under the President Obama's tax strategy. And some folks are getting up to $400 on this tax credit, and couples can get up to $800. The problem is you don't get both. And so the problem is you may be getting a stimulus check at $250 and go, hey, that's great. Let's go to dinner. Let's go to Walmart. Let's go to Best Buy. Let's go do something with this money, which is what they want you to do. They want you to spend it. And then come tax time, you find out that you've qualified for this tax credit, and you don't get to keep both, and you end up having to pay more or pay back one of the two, either the stimulus check or the tax credit. And nobody likes paying the government any money. They don't mind getting money from the government. They don't like paying it back. So you got to be careful. And if you get a stimulus check, it probably wouldn't be a bad idea to check with your CPA to see if you're going to have to pay it back. Apparently, according to the article I'm reading from the Wall Street Journal, I guess, or maybe this is the Statesman. Let's see. This looks like the Statesman. The people that are most at risk from getting burned on this deal will be married couples where both spouses work. That's a lot of people out there. Workers with more than one job, and Social Security recipients with jobs that provide taxable income. So beware of stimulus checks. If you get it, you may want to put it in a savings account because you may have to give it back instead of going to spend it, which is what they want to do. But if you spend it, again, you may have to find money someplace else to pay it back later, which is, you know, not a lot of fun. And then another article from the Internet. This is how this stuff goes, folks. Another article for the Internet is about dead people getting stimulus checks. So here's a story where this gal in, Pennsylvania, looks like, got a check, a $250 stimulus check, Annette Seno Padre, there you go. And actually it went to her father, and her father died in Italy 34 years ago, but he's got a stimulus check last month. In fact, he hasn't lived in the United States since 1933. So who knows? Apparently, according to the IRS, there will be 8,000 to 10,000 checks sent out to dead people this year. So I guess one way to get a stimulus check is to die, Snoop. And if you die, maybe they'll send you one. That's nice. Can't take it with you, but you never know. And speaking of can't take it with you, I was teaching a class. I teach Doug Paul and I, who you've heard on this show before. Doug is a great lawyer at the Wewell Law Firm. He and I teach at UT. We teach the Certified Financial Planner Preparatory class. So this is a class, an estate planning course, where prospective certified financial planners come in and learn about estate planning. We were talking this week about a gal who died several years ago, apparently in San Antonio, and decided she really wanted to take it with her. And what she did was she provided in her will that she was to be buried in the driver's seat of her Ferrari convertible, red Ferrari convertible with the top down, and she was to be buried in a negligee. Now, you know, There are a lot of wacky things out there, folks, and I don't make this stuff up. This is all true, and apparently that's what they did. They buried her with the car in the negligee in a vault, I would assume, and it's down underground now, and I would trust that they drained the oil and the gas out of that. It's an environmental problem leaking into the Edwards Aquifer, but there are a lot of interesting stuff out there, and one of the things we've added this year at the WeWell Law Firm is we're giving our clients the ability to choose whether they want to be cremated or buried. And there's a special document we use, which is legally enforceable, by the way, to appoint somebody to make those decisions for you after you're gone. And that's important because, frankly, people will fight over funeral arrangements. And if you've been involved in a family and somebody's died, and typically it's the, you know, if it's a married couple, it's on the second death where this stuff comes up, but sometimes it's first death stuff. If you don't have somebody with clear legal authority to make these decisions, it can be a mess. And what's interesting is that probably 80% of our clients are choosing cremation and about 20% of our clients are choosing burial. Now, you might get a deal at the Aggie Cemetery. I'm thinking that if you get cremated, they just have to bury your urn because you're going to take up less room over there. And I'm sure there's going to be a columbarium or something like that over there to store your ashes. But anyway, cremation is on the rise. The next couple of weeks, we're going to try to get in somebody from Ambus. We've had an Ambus guest on here a number of times. And Ambus is the burial society. And just some really cool information on how to get buried and how to get buried. You can figure that out. What type of burial you can have or what things cost in the funeral industry and things like that, too. All right, we're going to take another break. All our phone lines are open, 390-1370, 390-1370. I will see you on the other side of the break. Thanks.
Law Talk with Brad will continue in a moment.
Data Planet.
Welcome back to Law Talk with Brad on Talk Radio 1370 AM.
All right. Good morning. Welcome back. This is Brad Wewell. This is Law Talk with Brad. And we've got all our phone lines open at 390-1370, 390-1370. We've got about 10 minutes left. So if you've got a question this morning that you want to get answered, this is the time to call. We are going to be here for about 9.5 more minutes, and we'll be happy to take your call. Next week, we've got Senator John Cornyn's going to be our guest. Senator Cornyn's one of our two U.S. senators, and he's going to be talking about the new Supreme Court nominee. And he is generating a little press already about that issue. He's on the Judiciary Committee, the U.S. Senate Judiciary Committee, so he's going to be talking about that. He's going to give us an update on where things stand with estate taxes, too. And ladies and gentlemen, the answer is we don't know where estate taxes are going to be next year. Next year, theoretically, there won't be an estate tax. The year after that, there's going to be $1 million estate tax exemption down from 3.5 this year. But we're not really sure. There is no new law. There's a couple of proposals floating around on there. Stand by. Senator Cornyn hopefully can share some of that with us next week. And he's going to discuss Medicare reform. And Medicare is running out of money just about the time I get there. So, perfect. That's how it goes, baby boomers. Just be prepared for the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow to be empty. I'm planning on that anyway. So he's going to talk about Medicare reform and what's going on with that. So next week, Senator John Cornyn will be here, and you're going to want to listen to that show. All right, at the WeWell Law Firm, just a quick little pitch for us there. We have two offices. We have an office in Austin, near downtown, but not all the way downtown. It's 1601 Rio Grande. And we have an office in Georgetown at 1618 Williams Drive in Georgetown, which is between I-35 and Sun City on Williams Drive. We will see you for the first visit without charge. So you can come in and talk about wills and trusts and probate and asset protection. You can talk about business succession planning. You can talk about charitable planning, special need planning if you've got a special need person. You can talk about pet planning, which we talked about earlier on the show today. And you can talk about elder law. Now, for elder law, we do have an initial consultation fee, but for everything else, it's free for the first visit. So you can come by. All meetings are by appointment only at both our Austin office and our Georgetown offices. Our Austin number, if you want to write this down, is 480-8828. 480-8828. And our Georgetown number is 869-1435, 869-1435. And you can go to our website, and we have a great website. Our website is texastrustlaw.com. And at texastrustlaw.com, you can read about our firm. You can read about estate planning. We have a great library. We have 12 articles up every month, all the time. And the one this month is on estate planning for single people. We have a great legal glossary. We have videos. We have 81 two-minute videos on our website on estate planning issues. And it's just me kind of discussing them. And you can click on the radio show button, and that will send you to the show. And we've got some old shows up there, too, if you want to re-listen to those. So texastrustlaw.com. We are the We Will Law Firm. We are the peace of mind people. All we can give you is peace of mind, but we can give you a lot of that. So give us a call if we can help you at the We Will Law Firm. All right. What else is going on out there? Dead people getting stimulus checks. I'll tell you. You know, what else? Anybody surprised about that? I don't think so. You know, it's and bless their hearts, the IRS. Apparently what happened was the IRS just had to send out too many stimulus checks too fast, and they just got overwhelmed. What a surprise. And got the wrong people. But this guy who's been died 34 years ago and hasn't been in the United States since 1933, how they got his name, I have no idea. But check the mail, and maybe they got one for you too. All right, let's see what else is happening out there. Oh, yeah. I mentioned pets earlier. Let me just take a minute and talk about this too. We have a lot of clients that have pets, and a lot of people, as you know, like their pets more than they like family members, or may not have many family members. You can pick your pet, but you can't pick your family, I guess, is another way of saying that old saying. And at A&M, so we're back in the Aggies. This is an Aggie day. We just heard an Aggie commercial here on the show. They have at the campus at College Station, not only do we have the Aggie Cemetery we talked about earlier, they have the Stevenson Companion Animal Life Care Center. And this is a very interesting place. And you can find it on the internet. And it's Stevenson with a V. And what you can do is, when you pass away, you can leave your pet to the Stevenson Companion Animal Life Care Center. And they will, for a fee, keep your pet in the lap of luxury until they die a natural death. And so and how much you pay depends on whether you have a small animal or a large animal and how old you are. And if you're between 50 and 59, which is what I am, and you put in some money, you have to put in, it's hard to understand it from the website, but $30,000, I guess, if you write them a check today, $70,000 if you leave it as a bequest in your will or your revocable living trust. But either way, you die, you've got that money in there, and they will take your pet and, again, keep your pet in the lap of luxury. And they have different kinds of pets, of course, and they have on their website pictures of all their residents is what they call them, and they have 20 cats, 16 dogs, and one llama. The llama, according to the website here, is Rusty. They don't have any parrots, although if you want to, again, if you've got a parrot, be prepared, because the parrot is almost certainly going to outlive you, but they have provisions for taking birds too, and birds fall into the small animal category, which I guess would be right unless you got an ostrich, snoop, or an emu or something like that. But they do take horses and ponies, and I guess the llama would be a large animal. So if you don't know what to do, we do some pet planning at the We Will Law Firm, and we can connect you with the folks at A&M, and you can talk to them about their Stevenson Companion Pet Center. And, all right, we got 3 minutes, Snoop. All right, 3 minutes to say what? The 3 minutes to say this. And I say it pretty often, but you just got to repeat it and repeat it and repeat it. Do not do your own estate planning on your own. It is dangerous, dangerous stuff. We continue to see stuff in our office that it was done at home and not done the way people thought it was going to happen. So don't do it yourself. If you've done some planning in the past, get it reviewed because things change. Things change in your family, things change in your finances, and things change in the law. And if you did your will or trust 5, 10, 15, 20 years ago, I promise you, family, finances, and the law have changed many times, even in the last 5 years. So get it reviewed and make sure it's going to work right. Okay, today is Saturday. Tomorrow is Sunday. And we can help you on this side of life. We cannot help you on that side of life. So you need to go to church, and we'll all be better for you going to church, and you'll be better for you going to church too. And I think today I'd want to leave with this note. It's the last Saturday in May. I think it'd be wise, and this is the old Memorial Day, by the way. Memorial Day used to be on May 30th. I'm that old to remember that. Just give thanks. Give thanks to the country, for our country. We a lot of things people complain about, and a lot of things there are to complain about. But give thanks that you live in this country. Give thanks that we actually have a democracy, that people go vote, and when they win, they actually get to take office, and nobody tries to stop that. You may not like who's in office. Half the people will and half the people won't. But give thanks that we have a country that actually does work, at least politically. And it's frustrating, I know, but it's better than anything else I've seen. Anyway, we will see you next week. We're going to have Senator John Cornyn on, U.S. Senator John Cornyn. He's going to be talking about the Supreme Court nominee, estate taxes, and Medicare reform. You are not going to want to miss that show. We'll see you next week on Law Talk with Brad. Thanks.
Tune in next week for another edition of Law Talk with Brad.